Are you struggling to regain sustainability in your life and create a positive life stance? If so, listen in as courageous women share their empowering struggle of how they came through the trenches to restart and recreate a victorious life worth living. They took their power back. Learn the secrets of how they did it, and you can too. Welcome to the Real Heart Talk podcast and 360 Network for Women. And here's your host, Pamela Duran.
Welcome, Real Heart Talk listeners. You are enough tonight. I am so happy to bring to you Ann Grieco, and I hope I said that right, Ann, from Orlando, Florida. She is a clinician and she coaches executives and leaders on managing their anxiety and taking control of that and creating that sustainability and overcoming it. So I'm so happy to have you here, Ann, to share your knowledge and skills and guidance and some strategies to help our listeners if they are in a leadership or executive role. Welcome.
Thank you, Pamela, for having me. It was so exciting when we were talking about what you do and talking to the number of people who are executives in business, women who are really creating their own unique voice and wanting to manage stress and create a powerful presence that really resonates with them and the people who they serve, and do that sustainably. Do it in a way that they can have a work-life balance, that they can also experience productivity, and the other part of it is just making a big difference in the world. So some of the questions that people ask me a lot of times, you know, are how do I do that? And also to people who don't understand exactly what we're talking about, just to clarify, people who are in an executive role, people who are leaders, are people who everybody looks to. And so they have a tendency to put a lot of things before themselves and a lot of people before themselves while still maintaining a graceful and poised presence in everything that they do. And some people do that really well with a balance and manage to set boundaries and have wonderful conversations and connections. And other people are kind of faking it until they make it. So that's one of the issues that I think that I see sometimes with people who are executives and in leadership. Another one is the tendency to feel somewhat isolated, if that makes sense, where they just, you know, there's one of them and they have a team or teams looking toward them and they are accountable and they are managing a lot of things. And so what they do has a tendency to have an influence and an impact on everybody around them. And it's a wonderful place to be in. It's exhilarating for those who take that on. And then there's the part about being able to do it sustainably and doing it in a way that it really does enhance your quality of life and create the effect that you're wanting to create. So that's a little bit about that niche in terms of who we're talking about. And really being able to say, you know, I'm responsible and accountable for whatever happens in my life.
Yes, and I love the points that you bring up about these people are putting everybody before themselves. So is there a strategy that you talk to them or share with them that they can implement in their life to put themselves first and then take care of the masses? What is that like? What that conversation?
That conversation would be about recognizing that taking care of yourself actually allows you to provide more for other people. Knowing that your needs are taken care of, that you're feeling your best, that you're looking your best, whatever that means to you, taking care of yourself. And there's In a conversation, it can be very extended because there's, if we talk about self-care, there are five different areas of self-care that we would go through and talk about to ask people, you know, how they're doing and let them assess that so that they can take a look and then possibly make changes if they want to make them. This is if somebody is having a conversation with me and working with me. And what I tell them practically is to recognize that putting that in place first makes a difference for the people that they're going to be talking to, because it also gives them it gives everybody a foundation, but it also gives the people that they're sharing with, you know, this extra energy that to listen or to guide or to solve problems, put out fires, whatever it is that people are coming to them with, or whatever people are looking to them for. So, and I think that, you know, sometimes when I'm going to give a talk, will start as basic as, how are you breathing right now? And this is the most as tangible as I could possibly get. And I'll even ask, are you breathing right now? And everybody will laugh, because of course they are. At the same time, are you focused on your breathing? For example, is it a very shallow breath? Or are you taking the time, and everyone will be able to hear this, taking the time to inhale through the nose and expand your rib cage, fill the lungs, and then exhale through the mouth. Mm-hmm. And as you're doing that, you're cleansing the windpipes and releasing tension. And believe it or not, it's a very simple, cost-effective way to manage stress and lower it. And it doesn't take a whole lot of, you know, time. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, anybody know you can actually do that quickly before a meeting, before you're speaking, before, you know, something that is coming up that you are going to have to do. And it's nice to be able to do that from time to time, just to energize yourself as well. And I will talk with people sometimes about different ways to use breath in managing anxiety, if they have that, or stress. And those are just very simple ways. So breath would be one of them. We talk about thought regulation, talk about emotion regulation. And of course, emotion regulation is the number one problem statistically among professionals in all areas of life. People being able to regulate their emotions. And what we know is that thought leads to emotion, which then leads to behavior or action in the workplace. So that emotion regulation piece is important. And I talk some in some of the things that I do about leading with executive resilience, because executives, you know, want to be resilient. They want to have enough energy left over by the time they finish doing all the things that they're doing in a given day or in a given week, whenever, you know, whatever that is, so that they are ready. Yeah. They're not just in constant recovery mode. I've met people, and some of them are in constant recovery mode. They finish work, and then the rest of their downtime when they're not working is recovery. And then there's also the forced recovery. I was in a group of people, and everybody was really driven, and two of the people ended up in the ER doing a challenge, you know, and that's a matter. Yeah. They ended up in the ER, nothing serious. They were sent home. It was stress. But they were in this motivated driven group. This is a while back, a motivated driven business group, and the group, the coach issued a challenge, and two of them ended up at the ER. So yeah, didn't have to be. Yeah.
I can say, so I love the breath work and the fact that you mentioned that, because honestly, I've heard that twice this week. I'm like, okay, I must need to do some breath work, because they talked about that breathing in and then breathing out like you're pushing through a straw. You know, I think even my pastor was talking about that this week, not and John Ashraf. So there was like, you know, you're up there with them. Yeah. And so that's great. That's a good, and of course our mindset is always a good place for us to work on and make sure we have those affirmations and that we have clarity and that confidence, you know, as we're moving forward. Now, one thing I want to ask before we talk about these last two things you said is, when in your practice, when you're meeting with the people, are you doing a personality profile first? Because everybody is different, right? And that's a big part of that emotional arena. And so that way, do you do that at all? I'm just curious, you know, so that you know how to approach them or how they learn best or how that they work best. I mean, everybody is different. So how do you address that?
I do what is my own inventory, and it is a mixture of things that are clinical things, you know, questions, and it is also a mixture of personality. And those are things that I have developed over the course of time. And the other thing that I really want to hear from people about is what, you know, what they're thinking and what they're wanting to have, you know, from their point of view, so that I can empathize with what they're saying and actually put myself in their position so that I can guide them and give them the tools or the experience that they're looking to have as they're moving forward. Because we are actually going in a lot of cases, and creating new neural pathways in their thinking. We're creating new habits, and they're very transformative. They're literally so transformative that what used to seem like stress does not anymore. What used to seem like anxiety just simply isn't there sometimes. So, and we will go and talk, you know, at length and in depth if need be, if they're willing to go into that, and really, you know, pull up some of the things that anchor any kind of stress or discomfort or things that limit people from really reaching their success. Because a lot of the people that I work with will not take their foot off the gas. You know, it's not as simple as sending them somewhere for a couple of weeks to relax. They are constantly working and doing things, you know, and they would be inclined to be that way. So we learn to leverage the stress. And all during that time, I'm assessing, I'm asking questions, I'm getting feedback. And then there are times that I will ask them to do something specific. If I need more information, I will have them take, there's many inventories related to person. If you've looked into that topic, Pamela, there's many inventories related to that. And I think people get a kick out of completing them just based on what they learn from it. So Gallup has some really great ones. And I like the Gallup ones because they are really geared toward motivation. And so if you've taken some of those, you know, I've invested with them, and they have some related to motivation and success and learning style and those kinds of things.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. Sure. So I guess I'm envisioning, you know, two different people. I mean, you probably have a group of people, maybe they have a great team. And maybe, you know, they're coming to you because, like you said, they can't take the foot off the gas. They got to understand how to balance it. But then I imagine this other team over here that has the leader that has, you know, conflicts in their man, in their team, you know, in their structure. So how do you help them address those conflicts and just start having a more fulfilling time, you know, as the leadership of their organization?
I work privately with people so that I can, you know, talk to each type of person about what they're going through, what the experience is, and then looking at, well, how do we want that to look at some point, and what is the pathway? And of course, there is a whole area in communication to what I do. And it is about, you know, having difficult conversations, which the workplace is full of, being able to lead them for your team, and then being able to have them sometimes. And for some of the things that you were mentioning, you know, for the first group, it is about being able to set a framework, set an example, and then actually coach the team. And there can be coaching on both examples. It's just that I think that being able to demonstrate it and execute it initially is what really helps people get the confidence. And then I think that they do have some of them have a tendency, and we talk about creating a balance with that as well. Yes, it's important to measure progress based on how people respond and what they do, but then there's also just really having an objective perspective on really what is happening, because some people may be a little more responsive than others. And if you know business, we implement things, we implement strategies, and some of them do work, but some of them don't don't work, and then we have to retool and we kind of have to do it again and kind of figure out what would be the best step, you know, or what would be the next thing. And so to some degree, it's like peeling back layers of an onion, if that makes sense.
Yes, totally. It's just like I was at a conference with John C. Maxwell this weekend, and he was talking about you test, you fail, you improve as you evaluate, and then you, you know, get it back together, your plan back together, and then you re-entry, you know, re-enter. So relaunch again, or, you know, just try something else. I mean, we're always failing forward, right? I love his book about that. Even in business, you know, we are failing forward because you as a leader or an executive, anyone out there listening, you're going into that position with the knowledge that you have. And there may be some skills that you need to acquire in order to fulfill that position or that directorship fully. So it's not that you can't go there, but there may be something you need to learn or know. Do you have people that you coach in that certain scenario?
Yes, just newly? Only because what I heard you say is so point on. When you step into that role, there is no way you can know everything. There is no way you can predict everything. The people at the top of their game who are really transparent business coaches and other people that I know will acknowledge that to some degree you're using your intuition, you're trusting yourself and what, you know, you are thinking. And one of the things that I find, it may sound again, really simple. I find that people learn a lot from what they hear themselves saying when they talk about it with me. So giving them that open forum to be able to talk about that is something that they get a value from because they have a place to externalize some of the things that are going on internally. So they know intellectually, they know intuitively, you know, maybe even a little bit psychically. We're not talking about psychic stuff now, but they know energetically, you know, some things because they're there with the group of people. They're there implementing the event or the strategy or whatever the process is. And if they're doing things that are related to generating revenue, you know, they have that capacity. And sometimes it's about being able to tap into that, being able to have that place where you can kind of talk about it. And then if there is any confusion, be able to clarify it, clean it up. You know, and then the other thing that I find is too, sometimes people have things that kind of work are intertwined with it, maybe things from the past that actually, if we extract them from the current situation, that is the things from their past, and we give them a clean slate, then they are able to kind of talk about what they want to do, create that plan, move forward, and then it goes really well for them.
I love that. Getting rid of the limiting beliefs. So you're not carrying it forward with you into your new role or into your new team or into your existing, you know, where you're at. A lot of times, but that comes with awareness, right? Our change first comes with awareness. Do you talk about that in your coaching?
Yes. And I think especially for people, if they are coaches and executives and leaders or, you know, are similar to coaches or therapists or other people, spending that time doing that is important. I think it actually does help a person be able to sit in a chair or be in a position where they can provide support to other people, where they can create events if they're creating 3-day events or whatever it is that they're asking their team to do or working together with them on and being responsible for, you know, being able to do that work that we're talking about and do those things to give themselves the ability to be resilient and to also come from a really clear space. And how we are, you know, the way in which we approach a situation or people does make a difference in what else happens and how they respond. So
it does. Tone, right? Our tone is is a big we're having conversations or communicating. So I want to jump back real quick to the emotional regulation that you were talking about and how, and this is what I feel. And then you can just tell me what the out there, what is the, like the most consistent emotional issue that you run across. But I feel like because people are so passionate about their job and they put their all their emotion and work into what they do. And sometimes I think that does cross over into your identity, right? You don't really mean for it to, but because you're at work more than you're anywhere else awake, you know, and you're trying to build something, like you said, or create something or implement something and work with all these other people, different personalities to do that, the emotions do run high. So what is the most common, emotional situation that you've seen, and how did you direct them to deal with it?
Well, I think that I have seen people talk about being frustrated or angry with whatever it is, a particular situation. You know, more so frustration or anger probably than overwhelm. In other types of settings with other populations, I'll encounter overwhelm. But this particular, if we're talking about executives and leaders, they're going to talk about the frustration. So I help them understand stress in the workplace. And that's a whole area, like the nature of work-related stress in the work, you know, stress in the workplace and right. the anatomy of it. You know, and the anatomy of it involves the components of that involve the things that are the specific factors or situations that trigger a response and then the response to it. So, when people encounter a stressor, their body has a response to it. There's triggers that affect them. And of course, that's when people get into that. You probably have heard fight or flight. Type of a thing. Yes. That's when they have a tendency to go into that zone. And then there is, you know, considering those acute stress factors and then the chronic ones. And that's when stressors persist and then they become unmanageable. And of course, physical things happen. Whenever we're talking about stress or anxiety, that's one of the reasons why I led with breath. You are going to have something that is called somatic complaints. And a somatic complaint is when there is a physical reaction. People can actually feel it in their body. And if anyone studied psychology, it's almost like that theory called gestalt. If one time when they were practicing gestalt therapists, they would ask you tell them, I feel mad. They would go, where in your body do you feel it? And they would have you close your eyes and kind of do a little scan, my head, my neck, my shoulder, you know, and anxiety is full of those things. In fact, you might laugh at this, but to promote Louise Hay, but Louise Hay wrote a book, You Could Heal Your Life. And yes, they had many versions of that. And in the back of it, they have a chart that actually talks about the physical element, talks about what the probable emotional causes. And when she first wrote the book in its first version, it was affirmations because it was a long time ago, but now in later versions, it's changed to new thought pattern. And I believe when I was looking at it online, I think that they re-released, so they may have had another edition, but it's a legacy that she has left behind. And a lot of people go by that. And I would sit in my office sometimes and I would listen to people talk and I would go through that chart and I would kind of ask them questions according to what it said in that chart to help them to identify what could possibly be going on. So because it gives everybody the ability to kind of look at that, and that's a really great book to have on hand because you can look that up yourself. Everybody who's listening, if they're interested in understanding a bit more about what happens, there's a physical element, a physical health issue, maybe a pain or an ache or something like that. There's the probable cause that is emotional. And then there is the thought pattern and then showing you how to create a new thought pattern around it so that you can actually, reduce stress and you know, feel better. So.
Yes, I love that. For sharing that. So that's Louise Hay. You can heal your body.
You can heal your life.
Oh, heal your life.
Yeah. And also too, the book itself is a wonderful read. It's a very simple read and it gets into a lot of different things, you know, so the narrative that she created in the book is wonderful. It's just that what's more popular though, is that chart in the back because people like things that they can kind of look up and reference.
Yeah. I truly have. I'm like, wow. Because the book I have does have that chart in there. So that is that's amazing. So one thing that I did notice too, Anne, is for my own self over the years, you know, because I am passionate about my work, I have projects that I led. And when I was so into that project, when it came to the end, I would get sick. And so, I mean, you know, it's just like all of that I just took out on my own self, but I was holding it off until I finished. But I realized that, and I do not do that anymore. But for people that do that, what do you recommend? So when they get to the end of the project, that they don't get sick, do you have any thoughts?
Yes. Well, you know, and I'm glad that you said that, because that's the next thing. After we say something like, here's what it is, here's what acute stress is, here's what chronic stress is, it's about really being able to prioritize well-being. And so making sure that there is good self-care, you know, and understanding the impact of the, you know, what it's like with the neglected self. And I think, you know, people point to that when they talk about being overwhelmed or being so drained. You know, and noticing when that limit gets really high, and being able to balance that, you know, balance professional and personal life, and make sure that you're looking for, you know, times where it's important to set boundaries, if that's necessary. And basically, I think too, the steps for doing this are kind of interesting when it comes to, because that's what people want to know a lot of times is, well, that's great to say that. How do we do that? And the first one is to identify your needs, identify physical, emotional, and mental needs, and what activities make you feel nourished and restored. You know, what are your non-negotiable self-care practices? You know, and they may be exercise, sleep, alone time, or just having time with your partner and your children. And then the other thing is making sure that people schedule their self-care, really put that into the calendar. And I have heard business coaches actually talk about that too. They talk about self-care, your morning routine, and then getting in your calendar and making sure that there are clear blocks for self-care and healthy leisure as well. The next thing, a couple of things are being able to communicate your boundaries, being able to let your team and colleagues know, even if they're your business partners, let them know your available working hours, give them response time to emails, and also to identify sometimes if there are some when you're just not reachable, so that there's clarity and it reduces the expectation that you're going to be available 24/7. You know, especially if it's outside of the work. The other thing is being able to just gracefully delegate and empower people. You know, a lot of leaders that I know could hand off things, and whether it's something internal in their mind that wants them to hold it, or whether it's something, a concern externally, you know, going on with the team that has them have concerns. We want to talk about how to delegate and empower gracefully, so that that there is that balance. The other one too is learn to say no. And if I may, I have a story about that. There was a coach, his name is Jonathan Clark, and he's in Tampa, Florida. And he had me and a friend of mine who worked with him say, please don't count on me for that, because I won't be doing that right now. He had us memorize that and go and say that word for word. And it was challenging to say. I don't know how that lands for you or the people listening, Pamela, but if you never said something like that.
Now say it again. I want to hear it again.
Please don't count on me for that.
Okay.
Because yeah. I won't be doing it.
Yeah, I love that. That's pretty direct and to the point.
And that is when they ask you to head up another committee, or that is when they ask you to put out a fire that you know they have to do, and for some reason they are calling on you and seeing if they can get an emotion, a response, emotionally or otherwise. Yeah. So learning to say no. The next one is setting technology boundaries. You know, because I have people have challenges with that. Sometimes they just don't have a way to regulate their, that before they knew it, Their phone became a constant part. It's the first thing they touch in the morning. It's the last thing that they touch in the evening, you know. So
You have
setting
a
some
bed.
technology boundaries. Yeah.
Exactly. We have a bedtime on our phone. It'll go to sleep. You don't even get notified. So it's happy. I'm happy
Oh,
about
that's
that.
fabulous. Yeah.
What else? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh,
So.
and then there's just one more, and it's about regularly evaluating your boundaries. You know, your boundaries may need to be adjusted. They're fluid, they're not rigid. And as your circumstances change, you know, review your self-care practices and boundaries to ensure, you know, that they are actually serving a purpose, that they're also, you know, serving your well-being, but then also keeping things, you know, in whatever you're managing, balanced. And I like to pepper in new stuff if I possibly can. You know, I like to try some new type of self-care things just to see if I like that or I don't like that. A great example, you're saying be tangible. Great example of that is I've always been a great fan of massages. I think that they're wonderful and therapeutic. And recently I've also become a fan of a stretch, of a professional stretch. Have you ever been to Stretch Lab? That is a wonderful thing for helping to increase flexibility. People of some age, of certain ages, in my age range, you know, we're looking to keep that hip flexibility and neck and shoulders, and they can do some stretching that is gentle and therapeutic. You know, my biggest concern about doing it myself is that I'll wrench something, and I definitely don't want to do that. So having that professional stretch session, and you can like buy a pack of them. You could buy like a little package of them and have an
Oh.
increase range of motion. They actually will, the evaluation for that is interesting. They ask you a number of questions. They do
Okay.
that assessment, and then they actually look at the range and they ask you questions about how it feels and everything else. And then eventually they set a goal when they're working with you to see what if they're going to increase the range of motion, if they're going to release tightness or whatever the goal is, that they have specific goals in a stretch
I
session or
love
program.
that. I can tell you one new thing that I want to do is the cryotherapy. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I've heard that that's really great for you. It, you know, treats inflammation. It helps you just look younger. I'm sure it'll make you feel hopefully better. But yeah, I want to go try that. That's one of my new self-care things I want to do.
And that's distinct from those cold plunges that those kids are
Yeah.
doing. Have you seen that on social media where
Yes.
those kids are cold plunging?
Yes, I have. They even had one not far from where we live. They have a spring. And so they did it like at the first of the new year. And it was pretty cold. I mean, it wasn't like the Arctic, but of course, it was pretty cold. That's
Anyway,
cool. Well,
yeah.
this has given us a lot of information for the new executive, for the happy executive, for the executive who's on the edge or isolated. It sounds like you have a great program of addressing these needs as they arise. So, anyone listening, any female out there that is an executive or just starting in that position, it sounds like Anne can help you transition, build that sustainability, and obviously, you're going to be confident if you're going into that position. So this will just add to your confidence, you know, and give you more clarity. But I love the work that you do, and I love that you focus on your breath, your self-care, putting you first, because I think of a CEO like the CEO of Coca-Cola or our company, you know, I mean, they are carrying a load. And if they do not have someone like you to come to understand how to shift and how to balance or leverage, you know, their resources, it's only just a matter of time before they're going to wind up in the hospital like these people that were on that challenge. So we don't want that to happen. We definitely want to have you come to Anne, and she can help you. So tell us, do you have a website? How do people get in touch with you, Anne, to get this help that they need?
I do have a website and it is my name. It's www.anngreco.com. And I also have a link to a calendar if anybody would like to have a conversation that I could leave with you when I leave my information. And people can also connect with me on LinkedIn. I have a direct
Okay.
connection there as well.
That's great. I love it. No, I'll include that in the show notes, your calendar link, as well as your LinkedIn and your website. So people can get in touch with you and get and find more peace. I feel like what you provide, and you've been in the clinical setting, so you not only know from an emotional, psychological side, but from a physical side of the house as well, you know, how these things actually impact our life on a daily basis. If we don't address it, it's not going to go away. Just like a conflict at work. If you don't address it, it's just not going to go away. You know, you've got to learn how to have that difficult conversation, as you was talking about the communication, and also balancing, you know, the self-care, loving yourself in the midst of all that, as well as holding up the people that you're supporting in your organization.
Yes. Thank you so much for this time together.
Yes, you're welcome. So any final words?
I just wish for people to be well. I wish for people to lead a healthy life and really create an amazing 2024 in your business and personal life.
Yes, me too. More in 2024. Well, thank you, Anne, so much for being with us. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And stay tuned for our next episode.
Thank you for joining us today on the 360 Network for Women and Real Heart Talk podcast. We're so happy you could join and hope you stay tuned for the next episode.